to turn to the book of 1 John. Last week we began looking at verses 15 through verse 17. I'd like to read those verses again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's a command. It's an exhortation. The rest of the verse 15 and 16 and 17 give basically reasons why we shouldn't love the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Notice that again, it doesn't say that if you love the world, that eventually it will result in the love of the Father not being in you. It just simply says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's very plain. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth, which is the opposite of the one who loves the world, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Again, verse 15 starts with a command, love not the world. We saw last week that we need to realize, and we have a tendency to forget, we need to realize that we are strangers, that is, foreigners in this world. And the more fellowship that you have with the Lord, the more you realize every day that you really just don't fit in the world. So we're foreigners, we're pilgrims, that is, we're not here to stay, we're just passing through. He says, for his first reason not to love the world is because if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. Then he mentions three things that feed upon the world and that the world attracts. And these three things are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And all the world's ways are patterned to fulfill these three things. And if you think about it, it doesn't matter what you think about in the world, whether it's something you consider right or wrong, that doesn't matter right now. Everything in this world is patterned to fulfill these three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Even those things that you and I see nothing wrong with, if you break it down, it all gets back to these three things. We began last week looking at the lust of the flesh, which of course is descriptive of our human nature, which is often referred to as the flesh. And many of God's people have never really got it yet, is just how evil the flesh is. We need to understand that. We need to understand how corrupt, how depraved, how wicked our flesh is. We need to be always aware of that. And again, the world's way of life is patterned to fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Now in Galatians chapter 5, very familiar verses, Paul breaks down the works of the flesh. These are the things that the flesh will do. Left to itself, the flesh will do these things. Flesh even desires to do these things. The flesh takes pleasure in these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Everything mentioned there in verse 19 has to do with sexual impurity, immorality. That's of the flesh. Verse 20 talks about idolatry, witchcraft, and it's not by accident that idolatry and witchcraft are mentioned together. Hatred, variance, divisions, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, or parties, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he begins verse 22 by saying, but, or in contrast to the flesh, or just the opposite of the flesh, we have the Spirit, which of course is our new nature. The world does not pattern its ways to fulfill the spiritual part of us, does not pattern its ways to fulfill Jesus Christ in us. That we have to go to the Word of God for. That's why we have church. One of the reasons is to feed the spiritual man. But we have the lust of the flesh. The next thing he mentions is the lust of the eyes. And the ways of the world are designed to gratify sight. The world has a way of making things appear beautiful, making things appear attractive. And the world aims to center things around appearance. That's how cars are sold. That's how most things are sold on television, is appearance. It has to appear good. The lust of the flesh is fed by the lust of the eyes. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What that is telling us is that the eyes are a gateway to the mind. The eyes are a gateway to the mind. And the world's ways are patterned to gratify our sight. And our sight helps feed the lust of the flesh. I believe Satan uses the lust of the eyes to defile and blind the minds and the hearts of men. And by men, I don't mean males, I mean people, creation. The world bewitches with beauty. With beauty. You see something that looks good to you, you begin to covet it. You begin to desire it. This is what Achan said there in the book of Joshua, or book of Judges. We see that he saw. That was the first thing he saw. And when he saw, he immediately desired the thing. And so it is with you and I. So really the lust of the eyes has to do with covetousness. And everything about this world feeds covetousness, which is part of the lust of the flesh. But I believe when we talk about the lust of the eyes, we make a mistake if we restrict that to just gazing upon unlawful objects. I believe the lust of the eyes includes all forms of earthly mindedness. It has to do with the mind. Because again, the eyes are the gateway to the mind. And the things in this world are designed to blind our minds. We get our minds on the things of the world and we're blinded to spiritual things. That is a major problem today in our churches, is people are blinded and people are defiled by the world. You're preaching to people who have fed upon the world all week long and expect them to all of a sudden just turn all that off and be spiritual. And it doesn't work that way. It never has worked that way. But that's where we're at today. We're in a world, people feed upon the world all week. They're in the world all week. Their minds have been blinded. Their minds have been defiled. And now they come and they listen for an hour and think that's really something. And that's a long time. No preacher has any business preaching an hour as far as most are concern, because I got to go home and watch TV for 2 hours. And again, the world bewitches. And it has to do with our mind. And what we look at, I don't care what it is, comes into our mind. And it is stored in our mind. And you think about all the things that our eyes have seen. And it's all recorded. It's all recorded. Some things that we wish we never did see. Some things that we did not see on purpose. We just happened to be there and it was there. You think of all the things that little eyes watch on television. It's all being recorded. And it hardens the hearts of people. It's just a gradual hardening process. And that's why today, as we've said many times, people, I believe the reason that repentance has died for the most part is because people are incapable, for the most part, of feeling that they've done something wrong. Because they've seen so much of it that in their mind, it's really not wrong. Because I've seen thousands and thousands of people do this in my living room every single day. So how can I be wrong? And the lust of the eyes. The next thing he mentions is the pride of life. And everything about the world's ways tends to promote pride. Pride. And the esteem of self. Pride of life refers to the conceit of self, superiority, feeling of arrogance. We live in a very arrogant society. And Americans, for the most part, are a very arrogant people. Now, that may offend some, but it's the truth. We live in a very, that doesn't mean the rest of the world isn't arrogant. But we live in a very arrogant society. But it's the pride of life that desires power. It's the pride of life that seeks the chief places. I mean, I'm not condemning watching sports or that. But again, as I go back to what I said earlier, everything appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And even when our sport team does well, it makes you feel proud. I'm going to wear their uniform. I'm proud. That's my team. You didn't have anything to do with them winning. Not one thing. But it feeds the pride of life. And we could give many, 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 many examples. Pride of life seeks the chief places. It covets positions. It covets authority. One of the reasons people have so much trouble with authority is because they covet the very authority that they rebel against. It is the pride of life that covets influence, thirst after admiration. Everyone wants to be admired in the eyes of others. Thirsts after adulation and applause. The pride of life. It's the pride of life that strives after honors. It's the pride of life that strives after dignities. And we've been taught from a little child to be proud. We've been taught all our life to be proud. You accomplish something, you ought to be proud of that. The thing is, you don't have to tell anybody that has flesh that they need to be proud about something. They will be. Because that's part of the flesh. The world's way of life centers around the absorbing of self. Centers around self-glorification. Centers around self-gratification. Well, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. That is an unscriptural statement. Nothing could be further from the truth. But that's the society we live in. Happiness is the number one goal. So as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. Self-gratification. Self-esteem. Again, going back to self-gratification, you look at commercials. You buy things because somehow it's going to make your life easier. Somehow it's going to bring you some gratification. You'll never sell something telling somebody this will ruin your life. This will make you the most miserable person on your block. You need this. You're not going to buy it. You want that which is going to gratify. That which is going to give me some gratification. The pride of life. It all gets back to the pride of life. Self-esteem. It gets back to the pride of life. Self-service gets back to the pride of life. Self-will, self-seeking, self-sufficiency. And on we could go. But we live in a world that is very me-centered. A world that is very me-focused. And a world that is very reward-oriented. In other words, if I do such and such, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What do I get? And again, you look at advertising, 2-for-1. Wow. You mean if I buy one, I get another one? All they did was raise the price. It's 2-for-1. It makes you feel like you're getting something. And by the way, that's what I deserve. I deserve to get something. And again, it's a reward-oriented society. People do what they do to get something. Again, I believe, you may not agree, I believe you will, whether you're making 35 cents an hour or $35 an hour, you still are worth just as hard. It's not about what you get. It's about doing what's right. But we live in a, again, reward-oriented society. Well, if you paid me more, I'd work harder. Guess what? I'm firing you. because that shouldn't have anything to do with the effort that you put out. But that's part of our self-centered world. The world has a fixation. The world has an obsession with self. And all the world's ways are patterned to fulfill the pride of life. So we have three principles, three characteristics of infatuation with the world: the lust of the flesh is infatuated with this world. My flesh loves this world. Your flesh loves this world. It's infatuated with it. My flesh does not want to leave this world. My flesh loves it here because my flesh is fulfilled. My flesh is fed in the world. The lust of the flesh is basically sensuality. You have the lust of the eyes, which is basically covetousness. The pride of life, which of course is pride. And these are the springs of action in those who are of the world. And those who are of the world are described very aptly in Psalm 17, if we turn there. Psalm 17 and verse 14. This describes the people of the world. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world. Notice that, men of the world. Again, we're in the world, we're not to be of the world. Which have their portion in this life. That's it. Which have their portion in this life. That's why they will do anything they possibly can, no expense spared, to keep me breathing. Because their portion is in this life. This is it. This is all they've got. It doesn't get any better than this for the man of the world. They have their portion in this life. That should never be so of a child of God. It should never be said of a child of God that they have their portion in this life. Our portion, our inheritance, is in the next life. But again, for people of the world and for those who love the world, this is it. This is all they've got. And how sad that is, considering what John goes on to say, that the lust of the world passeth away. All you have, and it's going to pass away. So we should not love the world. We're warned against it. And we see these three principles or these three characteristics. Another reason we should not love the world is because the world's ways are contrary to God. And that is pretty much stated here in these verses as well, and we'll stop there. But again, we have the command, love not the world, and then we're given reasons why we shouldn't love the world. It is a fatal attraction. It is fatal to spirituality, the world. It is what has killed the spirit of worship in our services. It is the world. And everywhere you go, some places more than others, but you have the influence of the world. And it's something we have to deal with every single day. It's something that we have to do something with every single day, the world. It's in all of us. It's in all of us to love this world. There isn't any one of us here that can say that we do not have a part of us that loves, that does not love this world. We all do. That lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes and the pride of life, we have all those things. And the world, this is what the world's ways are off there for, is to fulfill these desires. Let's look to the Lord.